Legendary doesn't happen by chance. It happens because it's what BetMGM does. Sign up for BetMGM and check out all the exciting new ways you can make this pro football season unforgettable. Shoot your shot with same-game parlays. Call your plays like a pro with live betting. Or bet on a market you didn't know existed thanks to BetMGM Originals. You'll be on the edge of your seat from the very first snap, no matter what type of fan you are. Earn BetMGM rewards points on every bet. Take advantage of football offers found nowhere else, like a second chance on a first touchdown bet. And keep an eye out for rewards dropping in your account throughout the season. Never settle for the ordinary. Sign up today. BetMGM. Make it legendary.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Specific promotional offers are not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Save big money on your roofing project at Menards with Owens Corning Shingles. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements and enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 24 colors of Owens Corning Duration Shingles and transform your home today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
It's time to go one-on-one with DP. Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC Studios, here is your host, Derek Pearson.
Brought to you by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul
on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome to it on a Thursday night. I am glad that you're hanging out with us to have a meaningful discussion about the business that is NIL and collegiate athletics and what's going on around the country, because what is in one place is not always going on everywhere else. And there are different voices and different leaders, different types of leaders, that are helping us kind of find firm footing and a greater understanding of the business behind collegiate athletics and what's going on. DP, on a Thursday night, 402-464-5685 is the Sarda Hammond text line if you want to text in, and I will read your questions and get them to David. But I want to introduce our guest tonight, and he is the CEO of HBCU Icon The Exchange, 1901, down in Louisiana, but he is a graduate of Howard University and Grambling, and I'm honored to have this conversation with David Dirks Jr. David, kind sir, how are you this evening?
You know, I'm doing good. I'm actually in Atlanta, but I'm doing good. I'm really excited. And one correction, DP, I am the COO, the Chief Operating Officer. Okay. We have Mark on. He's the CEO. But I'm good tonight. I'm good. I'm excited about our conversation, man. And I'm honored to be here with you tonight. So thank you for the opportunity and the platform.
Well, to give voice and to give face to some of the business that's going on, and some clarity for folks who may be confused about this NIL thing and the different collectives around the country that all have different responsibilities, different burdens, different frictions to go through. So let's go through your background. First, a Grambling grad. Talk to me about the Grambling State University.
Man, you know, Grambling really molded me into the man that I am today. I'm from Los Angeles, California. Originally, I was the first in my family to go to college and then on to law school. I started some pretty good trends within my family. Nonetheless, while at Grambling, I really took sort of, I was a major in marketing, business marketing, minor in sociology, but I really took my collegiate career important. I was able to intern through opportunities from Grambling, but I interned with ESPN, I interned with Nike. One of those years, BET did a show called Season of the Tiger. It was a reality show based on our star football player at the time and a few band members. So that was my introduction to the business of entertainment, I would say, right? And through ESPN and Nike, the business of sports. I really learned early on that there were millions, if not billions of dollars that these corporations were putting into what's called sports marketing, entertainment marketing, a whole department that was focused on making sure that brands were in front of consumers and that they can really consume these different opportunities. So I took that opportunity, went on back to LA, decided to go to law school. I was inspired by the Barack Obama to be a lawyer. And that was really my opportunity. But I took advantage of all of the opportunities that Grambling gave me. I was a student leader. I was involved in really creating programs for our students and really creating the business of events, which I do also in addition to being a lawyer today. So that was my story. And that was my experience.
David, I mean, there's so many different seeds planted in what you just said. One, in that we're all motivated and inspired by different people and in those spaces. And that's how greatness is formed, that somebody has to plant the seed and then feed it and then put you in a situation where you can do better, not only for yourselves, but the next group of David Dirks out there who will aspire to greatness if we lead them to it. Why did you choose Howard to get your secondary and what was the importance of it?
You know, in addition to what I always deemed me being sort of an entertainment and sports, I also am an advocate, right? I organized, I was a part of the organizers of the Gina Six movement. When I was at Grambling, we got buses, the NAACP. So Howard University, the university in general, but the School of Law is so rich in moving African-American rights, the rights for Black and brown folks forward. So I really wanted to take my talents to a school that was focused on really creating the next lawyers for tomorrow, regardless of the field that you're in or regardless of the practice that you're in. You can always be an advocate. And Charles Hamilton Houston, the first dean of the School of Law, pretty much said that a lawyer is either a parasite on society or a social engineer, right? So that for me sums up why I chose to go to Howard University School of Law. And I'm really excited. It wasn't easy at all, but I'm happy I got through it. And I'm happy that I'm a licensed attorney today.
How difficult, mark me on a scale of how difficult it was being first generation and now being a lawyer, making all the decisions, going through all the friction that you had to go through, tough decisions, and then oftentimes a narrow hallway to walk down to get to the door that was appropriate for you to do the great things you're doing today.
No, I mean, it was very difficult, right? We sometimes choose to go to what we are familiar with, right? Family, friends, mentors. So I had to find mentors. I had to find my support system while at Howard. And I do have a really good support system till this day. But, you know, there's this method called the Socratic method where they just call you out of nowhere to answer a set, you know, a question that the professor asked. And that was really stressful. The tests back then were in blue books. We had to write everything out. We couldn't type it out. I think I took my last law school exam before actually going to take the bar exam and we were actually typing. But nonetheless, the reading, right, the case law that you have to study, and really figuring out the nuances of the law, right? There's always two attorneys on each side arguing the case, and then there's the trier of fact, whether it's a judge or the jury, right? So each of those folks, those parties, are listening to those facts, interpreting the law as instructed sometimes by judge instructions, and you have to really figure out how and what type of lawyer that you're going to be. So I couldn't depend on my mom, who's a great supporter. I couldn't depend on my dad, who supports me. But I had to reach out to other Grambling and Howard Law alums. There were folks before me that also had that journey, right? So that was the connection. So I think it's important for people to understand that although when you're trailblazing and you're creating first for yourself, for your family, there are pathways to make sure that you're not doing that alone and that you shouldn't be doing it alone. But it is sometimes a very lonely road because you are the person trailblazing. So there were mistakes that I made. And now those who come after me, the next David Dirks, especially those in my family, I can help be those mentors for those individuals. And I do that from time to time, time permitting, to make sure that I'm also mentoring the next up and coming lawyers or whoever is coming through, either Grambling or Howard in that sense. So
we're talking to David Dirks Jr. And David, through all of this, friction is required for you to decide to move other people forward with you. Like, you have to become comfortable being uncomfortable. And then in this space, you're taking all of this knowledge, all of this experience, all of this friction, and you're trying to make it easier for the next generation. You're doing so through the Icon 1901. What exactly is your mission in this thing in trying to help these young people have a better student-athlete experience in this particular case at Grambling, but at in general at universities around the country?
You know, that's I love that question. Young people can choose to do a couple of things as they are matriculating through college, matriculating through adulthood, and that is whether or not they're going to be prepared, right? And what does preparation look like? That's different for every student. That's different for every athlete, right? Your skill sets, your body composition, the way that you respond to training and different things like that is different for every athlete. That's the same thing for being prepared for life. So NIL is not new, right? We know that folks have been, I'm not going to say it. I'm a lawyer, but we know that folks have been in the business. Right. In the business of making sure that folks perform at certain institutions. Nonetheless, I really wanted to make sure that students are prepared, know the laws that you are sort of working within, right? NIL is new. It is the wild, wild west out there. A lot of us that are in this space always talk about it. I mean, there's so many cases now where states are suing the NCAA, former students are suing the NCAA. These rules are still in, these rules are still there. So kids have to know NCAA rules, state law rules, school policies, right? You just want to make sure that you're prepared for whatever comes your way. And then that also includes I see this as a great entrepreneurial tool for students, right? If you can create your own business model, if you can create your own business plan by becoming an influencer, or you're just really working with a brand that you loved and you've been loving through high school and through college, and they find your personality, they find your story interesting, and they want to pay you $500,000, $20,000, or whatever that number is, that's a business for you, right? So you need to be prepared in how to operate that business. Make sure that you're not signing contracts that you don't understand. Make sure that you're paying taxes on things. There were a couple of clips floating around where people were like, the IRS is knocking at my door now. And said, I owe all this money. What happened? Those things are important, right? So as I would say the floodgates opened, right? There's also an equity issue here. There are some kids that's going to have access. They have a David Dirks in their family. They have a David Dirks at school, right? They have a Mark Smith. They have a Derek Pearson that can say, do X, Y, and Z. But there are a lot of kids out there that do not have access to folks like us. So my mission and the mission of Icon 1901 is to make sure that we provide access, information, and education to any student athlete, especially those that are Black and Brown, especially those that are HBCU, but any student athlete that wants this information and needs it. They really do need it because we want to set them up for success. The same way that they're being set up for success on the field at their schools or in the classroom, through their majors, through their professors, we want to make sure, and we saw an opening, we saw a gap. Folks were taking advantage of kids. Folks are taking advantage of schools. some of these businesses are, right? So we really wanted to come into this space and really make it easy for folks to understand, make sure that they see people, they see themselves in the NIL space. And that's really my personal mission, is to continue to explain contracts to folks, explain these are the rules and how you should follow them, and be able to answer those questions when they do come up.
David, so much of this, and there are many tentacles to it, because mm-hmm. at the form of it is an idea and a concept that students have value and should be able to generate some financial advantage because of those skills, because of those personalities, because of the brand. But a big part of that is also that the university is involved in this, the coaches, the administrators are involved in it, the student athletes are trying to find the way, and then the lost faction are the parents who are trying to figure out, like, because as you said, first generation, there are a lot of folks that don't have an uncle or a dad or a mom who have gone through this or have had financial success or have the legal acumen or even access to resources that could tell them, hey, here's what you may need to think of. So from your perspective, what are the real frictions? I mean, what of those tentacles, and we can talk about each of them. As a matter of fact, I want to be transparent. There's no way that Dave and I can have the full conversation we need to have in one conversation. So there's
not at all.
That, right? There's beauty in that, but that's part of the plan. But in the long term, so let's start with coaches. So you're currently dealing with a coach that Nebraska fans are familiar with in Mickey Joseph, and he's down in Grambling, and you're helping them put themselves in a better situation as well. There are rules, laws, and boundaries that you have to keep Mickey informed with to help him stay in line and meet compliance and be in place. And then so that he can direct his student athletes to stay between the lines and in the boundaries. How difficult are those conversations, and what are the what's the first thing that when you talk to a coach and you say to him, you have to do this or be aware of this, and your players have to be aware of this?
You know, it really is that compliance piece, I think, for the coaches, right? And then a quick second, right? The very immediate second, DP, is making sure that we assist the coaches in not creating any locker room friction, yep. right? So yep. now we're dealing with that. You're managing student athletes. You're also trying to figure out sort of how do you recruit in this new space, right? The kids want NIL deals. A part of that conversation is, are there NIL deals? Are there opportunities, the prospect of those happening, right? And currently, you know, it's currently being challenged. right. But, you know, there is an NCAA rule where you can't use NIL to induce student athletes for recruitment, right? That's not a part of it. But again, we see the news. We watch the news, right? We see what's happening. So for those coaches, and this is not particular to Mickey Joseph, but for those coaches that want to really stay out of the news, right. out of our conversations, right? They should be privy to how they're separating their coaching responsibilities and building a good squad, building a good roster, but also thinking about how to also bring in those resources that are separate and apart from the schools, the institutions, from the athletics department, but that you can have people that are there to facilitate and help the student athletes. Now, there's also this thing with sort of HBCUs and in Mickey Joseph's position, there are not NIL staff employed like those at some of our, you know, Power Five or our other D1 schools, right? So as a collective that serves these institutions, that's where we come into play, and we help bridge the gap with resources, again, information with the parents, information with the students, information to the student official, the school officials as well, right? So the first step, again, just to circle back to the first point, is making sure that compliance, we understand what the student athletes have to do per school rules, per state legislation, and the NCAA rules that are definitely being attacked by now, right now. And maybe for good measure, you know, we're on a podcast, so I'm going right. to say my opinion. Maybe for good measure, but, you know, I have to say this at this juncture right now, because we're talking about it, you know, I really hope that this is all settled, because it does seem like, again, those folks who have resources and access are going to be the ones that are on top, whereas everyone else is going to be left out of the equation. And that's something that we shouldn't be creating the inequities that we're going to be seeing and that we're currently seeing in this space. But we are.
Through all of it, right, that coaches are learning, and the fact that it's fluid, because it's kind of a moving goalpost, right, that you can say, here are the laws in this particular case, get active based on that law, and then have that law, or at least the agreement to that law, change pretty quickly. And then here's the other thing. Not every state is NIL compliant or cooperative, right? Mm-mm. Like, there are states right. where there's still some dark areas.
There's still some states that their legislators intentionally were quiet about certain things, right? There are some states where it's very, very prescriptive, right? Yep. You can do this, you can do that, you can do this, you can do that. And then there are some states that says you can't stop kids from making money from name, image, and likeness, and that's the end of it. So now it's like, you know, what's there is, and that's the Wild Wild West part of it, right? Is that each state, California was on the verge of being first, where Florida came in and scooped in and said, "Nah, we're going to make this legal because California can't beat us." I find it so interesting, but I also find Congress's inaction so far very interesting because, you know, oh, man, we can get on so much deeper. I'm going to let you finish asking the questions, but... this whole labor union issue is so interesting. Well, it's so interesting.
Well, you're familiar with the DMV, and you know how that area gets down. I think the big part and a big responsibility that we have, that you and I, that people in this space have, people with microphones, people that understand the boundaries, who understand how that stuff really works in that corridor, right? That, mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. people in the middle of the country don't always know. Hey, I understand that you see the pro wrestler's version of politics where they get on TV and finger point, but the reality is they get behind a closed door and they're drinking beer and eating dinner together and not telling that truth. So a big part of folks outside of this, you're working for a collective that has chosen to help to start one particular group, which will then in turn help 113 HBCUs try to maneuver and navigate forward and up in NIL through some murky water. Is that a fair synopsis of what's really going on?
No, absolutely. And it's funny that we're talking about it, because I was literally, you know, just thinking, I think a lot. I often wonder, again, I'm from LA, y'all. I'm visiting Atlanta right now, but I live in the DMV. And I'm very familiar with lobbying. I'm very familiar with visiting Congress and telling my representative what I need, because I do it. And I do it yearly for different causes. I do wonder...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
From unsolved mysteries to unexplained phenomena, From comedy gold to relationship fails, Amazon Music's got the most ad-free top podcasts. Included with Prime. Download the Amazon Music app today.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
What's happening in the HBCU space, right? We want to make sure that we're getting funding for our schools, but there's a conversation to be had on in this NIL space and that contingent of student athletes, right? Again, these rules are going to have wide implication of how they're going to impact certain institutions differently. And we need people at the table that's going to speak to those implications. And we need rules that are going to be accountable for the systemic inequities that are going to occur. And they just are. Because who we have playing at this are big corporations. You know, I'm not going to call any names out. We have big schools. We have big conferences. And we have some folks that are really tied to these institutions that are, you know, definitely dedicated to see it play out a certain way in their favor. And that's the game that we're playing. And that's the part that I think we have to be really, really cognizant of as we continue to move forward. So, you know, it does behoove people in this space. It behooves HBCUs. It behooves those institutions that are not even HBCUs, but they may be minority serving. And they're not the Power Five. They're not the PAC 10, they're not these big institutions to also step up and say, we are in this space, our schools matter, our athletics matter, our student athletes matter, and this is the thing that we need.
We are talking with David Dirks Jr. We will go to break. When we come back, David, I want to ask you about the things that if you get to make a statement out loud to student athletes to get them to the door, and then the other thing is the statement out loud to boosters and community about why they are needed in this space and the benefits that communities, folks in small corners of the country, what they can do for the young people who are trying to find their way in NIL. This is One-on-One on 93.7 The Ticket.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, brought to you by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
It is an exceptional conversation with David Dirks Jr., COO of the HBCU Icon 1901. Legal information at its, in an explainable way. Harrison and I were just talking about the beauty of having you break it down at such a clear, crispy, clean level that we got moved by it. Here's the question, right? That there are people who will follow and support different universities. And again, supporting Georgia and Alabama and Nebraska is different than supporting Grambling, Howard, Southern, Jackson State. The dollar travels farther. It's longer green in those smaller communities. And for the student athletes in those programs at HBCUs, the dollar goes wild. So what do we need to do and what can we do to move local communities in the vacuums of those HBCUs to contribute and donate and support these programs and these young people?
No, I think it's you know, education now, we're talking about education, but I think there's an education gap, right? I think we need to let supporters know, and I'm talking about alumni, I'm talking about parents, I'm talking about businesses, right? I'm talking about Chamber of Commerce, know sort of this new opportunity to tap into young people that are talented, that can help move products, messages, whatever the case may be, right? Like influencer marketing, guerrilla style marketing tactics are not new. I said I was a marketing major in undergrad. So bringing the legal and the marketing together, you're able to create very authentic messaging with students that are tied to your local community in order to, one, support the student athletes, support the schools, but also in that, bring people back into your storefronts, bring people back into your cause. And that's really about cycling the resources in the community, right? It's a circular sort of opportunity here. And we all know that the dollar travels fast. The dollar for Black folks travels really fast. Those statistics still rings true in terms of who are the number one consumers for a lot of things. Cars, technology. I can go down a list, so forth and so forth. So I think the opportunity here is for folks to get educated and they don't understand this new space, right? I hear people and I say, I'm going to say old people. I hear old people because I'm old people.
Right.
NIL wasn't around, right? We were all in school and said, man, we couldn't make money when we were in school. Scholarship was our money. It's new. It's a new day, and it's a new opportunity. The kids are talented at all of these schools. The content that they make, we know social media sales. We know content sales. That's why people are millionaires off of Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok.
Yep.
So with that being said, there's a new opportunity to sell media in a different way, to sell digital assets and branding in a different way. And that's the story that we need to tell and we need to bring back to, if you want to help these institutions, if you want to help these schools, this is the way that we do it. It's a direct link to the student athletes. It really is.
David, how much friction do you get in dealing with universities who operate in trying to stay compliant, trying to be proactive, trying to be safe, but trying, quite frankly, to not work from fear? Because most universities operate in fear that I can get out over my skis, or I'm going into a new space and I'm not real sure. Maybe there's a blind spot that I haven't seen. As a legal mind, what do you say to the universities? What do we say to Grambling to get them to take a deep breath with us, exhale, and then take steps forward?
Risk mitigation and risk management is important, right? So establishing that grounding, right, from a very rudimentary place, that's important. But if that's where you stop, you are really handicapping your opportunity to really make an opportunity for your program to be successful, right?
Man, so, David, say that, bro. That needs to be on a shirt. That needs to be.
I mean, because it's just what you said. Like they are stopping at the fear. They're not moving cautiously, right? They're not moving, right? It's about standing on a tradition that may or may not be there anymore, and not really moving with the speed of let's vet these things. Let's talk to all of the interested parties and let's make this happen. And then the last thing that I will say is that folks have to really think about control in a different way, because they can't control these kids, right? So the fact that you can't control these student athletes anymore lets you know that you can't completely control this situation either. So you need to figure out how to play in the playground, in the sandbox, with the people that are involved, and make this thing happen, because this is going to happen with or without you. It would be better with you, because there is a legal perspective that the schools have. They have intellectual property that the brands want to align with. And they're not even capitalizing on that opportunity. I'm going to be quiet before somebody gives me a call. But, you know, that is the reality. That is the reality. They're not capitalizing on it.
Well, but
it's a missed opportunity.
But that's that is the thing. I don't know why that in areas of higher education, of higher reward, literally, these are vacuums that are built so that we take on new, that we engage the new, that we celebrate the new, that we experience the new. That's why you're pulled out of small towns and countries and counties all over the world, from L.A. to Ruston, Louisiana, to Washington, D.C., and beyond, because you're supposed to experience the new. You're supposed to do it from an educated format. You're supposed to do it from a connected format. And then you're supposed to make it better than it was. And that's the opportunity. And that, I think, that is the responsibility of the Icon 1901. And a part of why I jumped in the water with you was that you had organized a core group of people, intelligent, brilliant, bright people with good hearts who want to help student athletes and the universities that they love. And to me, that seems pretty simple.
You know, innovation is an often forgotten about term in I think education, right? We can all be, it can be, you know, very robotic. You got to go to class. You got to take these courses. You got to do this. You graduate. Yay, you're an alum now, right? But what are institutions doing to be innovative? What are institutions doing to really change the landscape by really attacking this opportunity for what it's worth? It really is. I mean, that's why we have a Caitlin Clark and a Angel Reese, because if we didn't have NIL, they are talented athletes. Full stop. Mm-hmm. Full stop. However, the fact that they were walking red carpets and they were getting these big deals just added to how people view them and how many people can view them. There is a reason. That is, Caitlin Clark is the Taylor Swift of women's basketball. There's a reason why NIL helped Caitlin Clark capitalize on her amazing athleticism. And those two, in this space, in this world, go hand in hand. She is a hero to some young girls that are in Nebraska, some young girls that are in Louisiana. They see her. They see her aligned with these brands. The brands that are aligned with her are doing well. And everybody who can see it is making and taking that opportunity for what it's worth. So if we don't figure out ways, even on a small scale, to do that, because at the Icon 1901, it's not about Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese. It's about all of the student athletes that can create the same type of movement and drop in the bucket that those names can carry. And that's what it's about.
Through so much of this, and I think that as we take the steps forward, and again, I think I've been clear in letting folks, and we need to make a formal statement, so folks understand that we're united in this thing, because I don't want, you know, full transparency, right, to let people know that even from Lincoln, Nebraska, through this vehicle that is 93.7 The Ticket and the foundations that we've built here, that we're going to help other universities. We're going to help other coaches, other collectives, other student athletes simply have a better existence by offering voice, by offering amplification, by offering brilliance and bright lights around them and who they are, and then allowing people, here's the part I think people miss, allowing people to be proud of themselves, David. Like, it's just, we're missing the layup, but I think collectives like 1901 are gonna help us get it right.
You know, you I believe in celebrating the wins and the losses, right? There's something to be learned in all of it. You take the good with the bad, and you absolutely need to celebrate yourself all the time. You have to encourage yourself. Don't get me to preaching in here today, but you to encourage yourself along the process. And this is no different, right? So when the schools do well, I'm proud of all of the first that Grambling State have been able to achieve this past year, you know, playing at the NCAA March Madness game, the baseball team going as far as it did. And we want to see that happen for football as well. But the reality of it is we have to share the good news. We have to speak up when we're doing these amazing opportunities. And that's where the opportunity of NIL to also do that. Tell the story, control the narrative, and use your best assets in doing that. And that's the student athletes.
We are going to go to break. When we come back, we'll close out this fine hour with David Dirks Jr. But I want to ask him to leave folks with information on how to become involved, even if it's not in the Icon 1901, but how to be involved. And then for those that want to reach out for more information, that will allow David to direct them to the proper sources. DP, David Dirks Jr. here on The Ticket FM.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
It has been a fantastic hour, informative, entertaining, educating, and that's when you know that you've landed on something good. Great resource in David Dirks Jr. Greatly appreciate you dropping knowledge and sharing information with our listeners and folks around the country who, quite frankly, I mean, there are families, there are young people, there are families, coaches who are trying to navigate their way through this new territory. And it's not easy. I happen to be a believer that it's simpler than people are making it, because I think in some cases it's just access and information. People become afraid and then they don't ask. They don't know who to ask. They don't know where to go. So David, if you would please let folks know how to reach you in case they have questions, in case they have curiosities that maybe you can help them with.
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, our website, theicon1901.com, is a great resource. And that's where you all can reach out to us. You can see what we're doing. You can check out our platform, the HBCU Icon Exchange. I'm on Twitter at Dave Dirks, DAVDIRKS. And you also can email me and find access to my email address through the website, but that's ddirks@theicon1901.com. Should definitely, sorry, go.
No, go ahead. No, give me that one.
You know, you should definitely figure out how to get more information, how to get more involved. If you're a business owner, there are philanthropy dollars, right, and money that you want to give away because you want a good tax write-off or because you care. But there are also marketing dollars that you must spend to really push your services and your products. Use those marketing dollars and create a budget for your favorite team. Maybe it's Grambling, maybe it's Nebraska, whatever it is. Use those dollars and create an opportunity and tell your story using authentic storytellers in the student athletes of tomorrow. They're not only going to help you sell your services and sell your products, but they're going to be the consumers of tomorrow. That's important. And for parents, for school officials, all of that, you know, connect with your collectives and really get involved. We are going to build this out together. We can only protect one another by talking to each other. We can't silo ourselves, but that's really important in this space. And that's how we're going to continue to move forward. And that's how people should move in this space.
David, what's the easiest way, best way to donate? Is it sending checks? Is it digital for tracking purposes? Maybe for tax records as well. What's the best way for folks, and what are the options?
The best way to donate is online. I mean, it's real easy. You can do it on your phone now. Again, go to the icon1901.com. When you pop, when the there's a what is it called? It's a little floater thing, kind of with floating on the screen now. It'll show tell you that you click here to donate. That's really an easy way. And there will be multiple ways for you to do that. But definitely, please contribute whatever you can. We are creating a movement. We're creating a community of HBCU students that are really going to do some really amazing things, both on the field, in the classroom, but also as entrepreneurs and as you know, employees of tomorrow. And that's really what we are using here. It's not about just today. It's also about skills for tomorrow.
David, again, I am grateful to be included, to sit in the passenger seat and kind of watch you create in a very pioneer mentality, that you are creating a thing that is so new and so necessary and so vital to make the experience of so many student athletes, so many families, so many communities, and then so many athletic programs be in better situations than they were, than you found them. And that is heroic. So as a matter of fact, some would say it's iconic. So David, thank you. Thank you for
dropping
it
all. Thank you.
Greatly appreciate you and what you're doing. We'll talk probably tomorrow or this weekend and set up some things. I'm going to head down Louisiana way and see if we can get some things. And then I'm going to catch you in the DMV when I come home and see my people.
Let me know when, but thank you for everything that you're doing, DP. This is really amazing, and I'm looking forward to continuing our conversations.
NIL is a vast, vast land. And to have folks navigate you through it, absolutely necessary, especially when they're good, intelligent, bright people with a good heart. This is The Good Work. DP, out on one-on-one, 93.7 The Ticket. Ticket weeknight, so keep it moving forward. David Dirks Jr., thank you, kind sir.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.